You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives Live, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing mind-made limitations and how they hold us back on a daily basis. You know, everywhere you go, you hear people telling you, expand your mind, open your mind, and I think the ever-popular think outside the box. You know, for the most part, we think of these in the perspective of creating, a new product, a new service, you know, getting rid of prejudice as well, or reinventing something. The concept of getting outside the box or getting outside the brain is necessary for our own survival and our ultimate success. You know, it's necessary because we create these thoughts in our mind that can actually hold us back. They take the wind out of our sails and they keep us where we are. They keep us locked down. So let's begin tonight's conversation really by discussing the top five mind-made limitations. I came up with these myself. I like mind-made limitations because it's mind-made. It's not man-made, but it is really, but it's made in your mind. So before we go to those top five, Billy Boy, how are you doing this evening?
Doing just wonderful, Ashley. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thanks for asking.
You know, and I'm just real interested in our topic tonight, mind-made. I never really thought about how your mind can create barriers or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we do. The actual mind actually does the best job of creating these barriers because we believe them. Because they're in our mind, and that's just the way life is. And so if we create a world that we live in that have these, confinements, we feel like we must live within the confinements because that's our reality. It's kind of interesting. Join us tonight, Bernard. Bernard, how are you doing this evening?
I am very well. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. So let's talk about this real quick. And we talked about this a little bit on the phone earlier, guys. And I know, I know we're here in the evening time and we're in the evening hours, but let's talk about this again. So number five, the top five mind-made limitations. Number five is I'm not smart enough.
Okay. Yes, I know. And I probably have had those kind of moments myself where I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just, not smart enough to be able to tackle that particular goal or, you know, to do whatever, you know, that thing. And I know people all the time. In fact, I have a close relative, and that's her basic issue. She doesn't think she's smart, and actually she is. So she is smart, and she doesn't think she is. So she doesn't allow herself to do some things.
Yeah, I agree, Billy. For me, it all begins with, what do you define as smart?
That's okay. So what do you define as smart? Answer your question there.
Yeah, what do you define as smart? I think smart is what you define it to be, okay? And not let others really get in a position to define what your definitions of what you believe in are.
Well,
think about it.
How does Bernard define smart?
You know, I define smart as having the ability to adapt to any situation, having the ability to overcome any situation, and having the ability to engage at a high level. You know, now physics, that may be a different story. But if I apply myself, you know what? There may be an inner physicist somewhere in me.
Ooh, inner physicist. I like that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Say it fast three times.
Inner physicist.
I'll let Bernard do it, okay? So see what I'm saying? But it's I agree with you. I mean, being smart, it's all a technicality. What does smart mean? And also, like you said, Bill, I mean, some people can be very intelligent, but they don't think they are, so therefore they aren't. Number four, I'm not good looking. I think we've heard a lot of people say that. I mean, being from my background, what I do, I have a lot of clients that come in saying, oh, everybody's better looking than me. I'm never going to find a mate. I'm never going to be at this level. I can't date this person because I don't have these looks. And I hear this all the time, and people always comparing themselves to what they think is good looking. But what is good looking? I mean,
Wow. You know, what is good looking?
Well, and especially we're just inundated with mass media. And the society's, ideals of physical beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, Mona Lisa, was she hot back then? I mean, think about like the whole concept of what hot and good looking
well,
is.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, Da Vinci took the time to, you know, make that painting. So, you would hope that she is anyway.
You know, for me, Billy, you know, and I think about it, and great point, Ashley. You know, for me, beauty is really the person, how they feel about themselves. I mean, is that not it? If you feel beautiful,
well,
then therefore you are beautiful.
I've always thought that inner beauty is more important than outer beauty.
Yeah.
And I've known some people who on the outside
are
what society considers beautiful.
Yeah.
But on the inside, they're just rotten. You know, they're just as ugly as sin.
ugly as sin.
But that's a West Texas.
I haven't heard that in forever.
That's a West Texasism for you. That's just not what society values, though. Yeah. I mean, okay, I'll go there, Ashley. The Kardashians.
Yeah.
Enough said.
But they're being portrayed as the sexiest women around.
Absolutely.
And so people, women, girls of all ages are trying to mimic Kim Kardashian. They're trying to be like her. They're trying to look like her. They're trying to do her hair like her, dress like her. You know, I mean, those are the keys right there. And if that's the person that they claim, the media claims is the most beautiful person, these people buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. And they look outside of themselves. And we're going to talk more about that later.
Yeah.
Number three, I'm never going to accomplish my life goals.
Wow.
You know, I wonder if number three is as a result of the first two partially. I'm not smart enough. I'm not beautiful enough. Therefore, I mean, I can't accomplish my goals. You know, and you could probably come up with some other reasons too. You know, I'm not educated enough. I don't know the right people. You know, blah blah blah.
Yeah. I didn't go to the right school.
You know, I know a person who is so good at making excuses that she has an excuse for the reason why she makes excuses.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, she just goes through life.
Yeah,
miserable. You know,
I avoid those people.
You know, she's one of those people, Bernard, that you don't ask her how you know, when you
downer,
see somebody for the first time, how are you? You know,
downer.
I mean, it's kind of a natural thing, right?
Yeah.
And you don't ask her how she is because she'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's never a happy story.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Always negative Nancy over there. There's
downer,
always someone.
Downer. Hey, set goals that you can accomplish. And once you accomplish them, set bigger goals. Once you accomplish those, set bigger goals. Get some wins under your belt, and maybe you'll feel a little bit better about yourself. What do you think?
And even if they're just small ones.
Even the small ones.
You know?
I said really, really small goals, really, really tiny goals. You know, today I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to smile. And
or
when I smile, I feel good about that.
Today, instead of punching my snooze button three times, I'll do it just twice.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, exactly. Something like that.
Little stuff. Little stuff makes big stuff. Mind over matter.
Baby steps.
Love it.
Baby steps.
Love
baby
it.
Steps into the elevator.
Well,
baby it, steps down the hallway.
And actually, I mean, that's actually a good point there, Ashley. You know, it's nature's rule. You have to learn to crawl before you can learn to walk.
Yeah.
You got to learn to walk before you can learn to run. That's the, you know, we didn't invent that rule. Nature invented it.
That's true.
Very true. Very
so
true.
Number two, they don't like me.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think they like me.
Okay,
they don't like me.
Okay.
They don't want to be around me.
Okay,
they're not
okay.
My friend. They don't care. They don't like me.
But let me jump into this one. Who's they? And who gave they the right to determine I?
Right.
They rock. They rock.
Because
they.
You're allowing other people to live your life for you.
Who's in control of your state of mind?
Yeah.
If it's they, 90% of they are borderline insane.
You know, you would think so. Yeah, I mean, because basically you're surrendering control of yourself to someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't imagine going through life like that.
They don't like me today. They'll like me tomorrow. After tomorrow, they may not like me again. But you know what? I like me.
Well, and that should be, it should be enough. But, you know, and Ashley, we'll get into that topic, I'm sure, a little bit more in the next couple hours. You know, society, obviously, you know, there's so much pressure to conform that, you know, it takes courage for a guy like Bernard to say, I like me and that's good enough.
Yeah, I've been with me a long time.
How many people do you know that, you know, just don't have that kind of courage?
Yeah, I've been with me a long time.
Yeah. And you're going to be with yourself much longer.
Yeah, exactly. Till the end. So
I hope
so. Who's they?
Who's they? Who's they and who put you up to it?
Exactly.
Number one. Okay, so
drum
all
roll,
these
please.
Ooh, that was good.
Like it.
All these link together, obviously. Number one, I'm not good enough.
Ooh.
and I think that's a big deal. And I'm gonna play a little quick clip for everybody.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Everybody remembers Stuart Smiley, I remember from Saturday Night Live, and I thought that was always a poetic. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. I mean, do you know, I don't think either one of y'all might know this, but I'm going to educate the mind. Do you know that there are actually support groups on the web for people who feel that they're not smart enough?
I don't doubt that for one second. There's probably an app for it, actually. That
doesn't surprise me. There's a market.
I mean, I think it's like people are like, do you feel smart enough? I believe a good percentage of people who feel they aren't smart enough feel that way because I think it's like school, right? Educational level. I think a lot of times when people don't have the educational level that they think they need to have, they get that low self-esteem. I mean, feeling that everyone knows more than them. I think a lot of times we feel, oh, well, they must know more than me. They must know this and that because I haven't had this type of education. And so I think we should talk about more about this here in the next segment because we have a lot to get into. We have a lot of things to talk about. We need to talk about I'm not smart enough, number five. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our exploration into the top five mind-made limitations. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing mind-made limitations. Mind-made, not man-made, but mind-made limitations and how they actually hold you back on a daily basis. Right before break, I was going over the top five mind-made excuses and limitations that we make for ourselves. Number five, you're not smart enough. Number four, I'm not good looking. Number three, I'm never going to accomplish my life goals. Number two, they don't like me. And number one, I'm not good enough. So let's go back to number five. I'm not smart enough. And I think right before break, I was telling y'all that I was online the other day, you know, researching for this show, obviously, and there are actual support groups on the web for people who feel that they are just not smart enough. And I think that's interesting because I understand about codependency support groups, CODA. I understand about, you know, you've lost a spouse to cancer. I understand that, you know, whether it's a divorce support, what have you. Maybe your child was abducted, what have you. But, I mean, you're not smart enough support group? And I started reading a lot of these people's entries, and there was about 333 on this one page of entries, and it was everything from an 8-year-old child saying, I didn't do well in my second grade reading class, I think that I'm not that smart, and I might fail out of school, to, middle-aged adults saying, you know, I really just don't know if I'm ever going to get there. I just don't know if I'm as smart enough as my coworkers. I feel stupid at work. I feel like everybody's talking over my head. I constantly feel dumb. And so, I mean, you know, for all the listeners that are listening, including us here in the studio, I mean, I believe that probably a good group of people that are probably intelligent, they're probably just fine. I think it's their schooling and maybe educational level. And I don't know about y'all, but I remember, you know, being surrounded by people because I always hung out with older friends, older people. And I remember a lot of people I hung out with had, you know, doctorates, master's doctorates. And I had just maybe started undergraduate. You know, I had just gotten into college. And I remember thinking, wow, these people are so intelligent. And I understand that situation. But to live my life feeling that, I mean, I think that the educational level is something, but it's not everything. You don't have to get a doctorate to be intelligent. I mean, that's been proven. Okay, some of the most intelligent people in the entire world never went to college. Some of the most intelligent people in the entire world never finished high school.
I was going to say, probably the two most famous people in the tech world, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, are college dropouts. You know, Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard and co-founded Microsoft.
Well, dropping out of Harvard's pretty good, though. You look cool that way. You look cool. I mean, you're like, I dropped out of Harvard.
And, hey,
I mean,
Matt Damon, at least you got in. You got in.
And I think Michael Dell, I might be wrong, but I think Michael Dell dropped out of the University of Texas.
Yeah, down in Austin, yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a little different.
You know, but the point being, see, I'll use my mother as an example. And the reason, Ashley, you and I have discussed my mom before. You know, bless her heart, she has, you know, a lot of self-esteem issues.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And I think that these five things are just right up her alley, you know, because, her mind does create barriers for her. And she's actually a very, very smart woman. She was able to put herself through college as a single mother with two boys.
That's impressive. At home. That's impressive.
And, bless her heart, she just doesn't think she's smart enough to do things. And yet she got her college education, I keep telling her sometimes, Mom, you know, you're a college educated woman. Of course, you're smart enough to do it. And then she'll come up with all sorts of excuses why she can't do something.
Or why other people are smarter.
I think it starts with a desire to want to improve to a very high degree. When I first started in corporate America, I worked at an oil and gas company, not to be named here, down in Houston. I was a young 20-something guy coming out of school and wanting to change the world. And my clients had worked at that company longer than I'd been alive at the time, but I aspired to be at their level. And so I did what they did. If they read the Wall Street Journal, I read the Wall Street Journal. If they used a certain lingo, I used a certain lingo. And I began to mimic the things that successful and smart people did, but I took it upon myself to improve myself. And at the end of the day, I got a little bit better. I got a little bit smarter. I got a little bit more knowledgeable. So I think a lot of that, to some degree, not everybody's going to have it, starts with wanting to get a little bit better and then aligning yourself with folks who are better or maybe smarter.
It's desire.
Desire,
right?
Yeah.
I think because, and I'll use my mom as an example again, she has the most determination of anybody I've ever seen. And it's incredible. When she puts her mind to something, then
yep.
Literally nothing will stop her. And I wish I had more of that in me.
There's that mind thing again. Go figure. That mind thing.
Yeah.
Well, what about what people tell you, too? You got to think about this. I think that this happens to a lot of us. You know, you have someone tell you how they are better. Or you have someone tell you, how wealthy they are, right? Or how great their life is. And I think that's kind of the same idea as how smart someone is. If somebody's going to tell you they're really smart and you buy into it and you judge yourself based on something that has absolutely no factual evidence whatsoever, it's just based on what this person says. I mean, because I know we've all done that before. I mean, when it's come to, in my case, I've done it in the past where somebody talks about, how wealthy and how rich they are and everything. And I'm like, wow. You know, but then when I get to know them even better, I'm like, wait a second. Okay, so I was basing something that had no factual evidence whatsoever on it, and I was actually judging myself based on that.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, I think when we listen to our friends, our coworkers, strangers, and definitely the TV, I think that the TV really does do a lot of things to our mind because we believe certain things. We accept certain judgments. We accept things that are handed to us, or so-and-so's the smartest, or this person's an intelligent person, and you start mapping yourself against those people, but you never know. I mean, TV is scripted. TV is TV. I mean, how intelligent somebody is, I'm sure Dr. Oz is an intelligent person. However, if you're not with him and y'all aren't taking an IQ test together and you aren't, face-to-face with each other, you really don't know who's really more intelligent than the other, and you're just making a judgment call on yourself.
I agree. I heard a wise person say once, I'm a parent, and I heard a wise person say, this is in reference to The Cosby Show.
One of my favorite shows.
Exactly. I want to have a family like The Cosby Show. I want a doctor dad and a lawyer mom and great kids and all of this. And we want to solve conflicts within a 30-minute episode. Well, you know what? Someone's writing that.
Right.
Okay? Someone's writing that. There's no one writing a script for your life.
And what people don't understand behind the scenes, Bernard, is it takes them 6 months to write a script.
It takes them 6 months. And the guys are solely focused on writing that particular script. So you just got to jump into it. You got to have the right attitude. And it goes back to that mind thing, focusing your mind on what you want to become.
You know, Ashley, have you ever heard the old joke, what is the person who finishes last in medical school? What do they want to be called? Doctor?
Doctor.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
doctor.
Look at me. I'm a doctor, and I think, people kind of, get that way. They put on airs.
Oh, I agree with you, because a title decides how intelligent you are. Ooh. I mean, like, you can sit there and say, okay, I'm a doctor, but you could have been the worst, like you said, in the class. However, you have somebody over there with a master's that can, they can actually run miles around that person as far as an education and thought process. And I think it's kind of like the concept that someone has the best marriage. Think about it. Someone has the best marriage, that someone makes a lot of money, that someone is super famous, that someone's got it all together. Think about the list. It just goes on. We find it difficult to just listen without our own judgment. You may not be judging them at all, but you're judging yourself. So, when you hear like a friend or somebody talk about how Jane and Mark have the best marriage, I mean, they just got it all together. Like, you were talking about The Cosby Show. I mean, that's a TV show, but these are these people talking about a real-life marriage. And instead of judging them and saying, oh, well, I just don't know about their marriage being that great. Well, no, you're not doing that, but a lot of times you can internalize it and say, well, I wonder if my marriage is just as good as Jane and Mark's. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, and you start questioning your life and saying, am I just as good or am I good enough? And usually that judgment, without any fact-finding, without any fact-checking, you basically personally beat yourself down. It's a personal beatdown, and you become your own internal hater. So now you don't have to worry about the outside haters anymore, because they're not at all equipped to take you down as much as you're equipped to take you down, because you can absolutely take you down. When you're fighting yourself inside, and you can't do it. I mean, you can fight like a group of people down the street, and I do not advocate fighting, but if you're in a fight, hit first and hit hard. But the thing is that if you're fighting yourself on a daily basis, you can't ever win. You just can't, because you're going to have to deal with all this other stuff. And if you have an internal fight building up within you, you see everything in life as a fight. So, you know, you see life as really hard. You see everybody's trying to fight you because internally you're fighting yourself. It can't be anything different than that. So, you know, going back to not being smart enough, you're only as smart as you think you are, right? Anyone can be Einstein, but Einstein never thought he was stupid. Okay, you know, and I don't think you want to go out there and get the big head with the huge ego, because when you do that, right, the pendulum shifts to the opposite, but it's the same scenario again, because people are cocky and egotistical because they feel lesser than deep down inside. They just use that to hide it. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our exploration of the top five mind-made limitations and how they hold you back, and how I think we all do it to some degree. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
You know that I'm craving a little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1946.
Welcome back to Perspectives Live, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing mind-made limitations and how they hold us back on a daily basis. You know, before we went to break, we were beginning our discussion into the top five mind-made limitations and why we create them. Anything anyone wants to add about number five before we continue on? Number five was, I'm not smart enough.
I'm not smart enough. Well, and again, I think just to hit on something that Bernard said, you know, I think you have to like yourself. And I if you don't like yourself, then it's pretty hard to think that you're good enough, that you're smart enough, that you can hang with basically any crowd that you want to hang with.
I agree, Billy. What was smart 100 years ago is grade school today. What's smart today will be grade school tomorrow. So it's all relative.
Yeah.
And someone's always going to be smarter.
And someone's always going to be smarter. So for me, that gives me something to shoot for.
There you go.
You got it.
And my deal about being smart is this. Just one little FYI to everybody listening is that if you're the smartest in the room, you're in the wrong room, by the way. Okay.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Because you're making a bad mistake, because you're actually not going to grow. You're going to get settled, and you're going to get sedentary, and you're going to lose your edge. Okay, let's move ahead to number four. I'm not good looking enough.
Ooh.
You know, we see women and men battle this age-old issue on a daily basis, the feeling of being lesser than others due to, you know, mental thoughts, and our looks is something that's haunted people forever, right? The need for acceptance, the need for admiration. I think often the concept of feeling not good looking enough is the context of winning the girl, possibly, or winning the affection of some boy. I always put it in girl and boy, not men and women context. I just think it's cuter that way. We see there's a lot of marriages too, where one person is significantly better looking than the other. And you know what people always say a lot of times, ooh, how did they land her? Or how did she land him? And why would someone think this? Or why would someone think that they're not good looking enough? I think the first thing is they watch too much TV, where TV, people tell you what is good looking, and what isn't. Think about how many shows. Think about Joan Rivers is over there telling you about how somebody looks like an idiot and how somebody looks great and how somebody's dress looked amazing. And some of the stuff they said looked amazing. I was like, really?
And think about,
I don't know. It's just not in my brain set. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't in my mind. I didn't wrap around that one.
And think about who's saying it. Joan Rivers.
Exactly.
Have you seen Joan Rivers?
Exactly.
But God bless her. She looks like she's 42. I mean, I haven't ever. I mean, come on. I mean, the work is magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. I mean, I have to give her that. But at the same point in time, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, if you're going to sit there and listen to these people snap off about who is like hot and who's not, come on. I mean, the 50 hottest people, what is that, in the People magazine?
Was there like a billion people on the planet? We can narrow it down to 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be doing good to narrow it down to 5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have $1 billion, you're the hottest person in the world, man. You could be a 500-pound man that's completely bald and has hair all over. And if you have, like, if you're like Carlos Slim and you got that kind of money, you're like number one on most people.
I was going to say, how do you think, you know, these guys get some of these, you know, trophy wives, you know? They got the, you know... money going.
They got the bread, and the trophy wives actually make them look better.
You know, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Need I say more?
Hair. Yeah.
I would be afraid to, like, get near him. I think his hair would, like, bite me.
It's another entity. It's a separate person.
I think it's alive. Yeah. Seriously, we've been on TV before. I think I've seen it move. You know?
Really?
It's like, wow.
You know?
Come on, bro. Come on.
But on some planet, somewhere far away, Donald Trump is the standard of beauty.
That's scary.
That's reality.
That's a scary thought.
And that's what we're talking about.
I think
about.
I'll stay here on planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I'm not going for all that. But no, I agree with you. I mean, it depends on how you define it. I mean, I had a friend of mine, his dad one time taught him a big lesson. His dad was bald, and they were at a bar. I'm not really going to tell you about what kind of bar. And he took his 16-year-old son, which was my friend, and he goes, yeah, I'm not that good looking, but watch this. He took a $100 bill, stuck it on his bald head, and he goes, I'm a lot better looking now. And as all the women came by, he was like, see, just takes a little bit of some dress up, you know? He goes, you just put something there. And I was thinking, man, that's an awful lesson to teach your 16-year-old kid. However, you know, people turn out the way they're, unfortunately, sometimes raised. Sometimes you have to raise yourself, but that was an interesting experience.
Well, Ashley, I think that you're hitting on a very good point, though, in something I said earlier in the show. Society has the ideals of physical beauty. And I guess we'll stick with physical beauty for just a moment. And, you know, the ideals of physical beauty have waxed and waned and changed over time, right? There's... Not just watching too much TV, actually, although that's certainly a big part of it, but all the advertising, you know, that you see you know, everything, just you being inundated on social media.
Well, yeah, well, they look at the magazines. They look at Glamour. They look at Cosmo. They look at Facebook, whatever. They look at the magazines, and they get reinforced again. What is the definition of beauty? What is sexy? And even men, what is manly? What's manly? You know, and men start comparing themselves. Do I look like Brad Pitt? You know,
Or do I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? That, you know, I mean, am I muscular enough? Yeah, 20 years ago, but yeah.
One of the things that I am really, really enjoying, guys, is the movement. And I don't know if you call it a movement. Maybe it's a realization. Maybe it's an awakening. But full-figured women. You're looking at a lot of the models today, and they're women who look like women that we see every day.
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Baby got back.
So it's like, what's that one line there? You know, Cosmo says you're fat. I'm not hip with that.
All of that. And that's a reality. And that's a speaking truth to a reality.
You jumped out of your seat when you started saying that baby got back. And you jumped out of the seat. I was like, woo.
He was about to start twerking.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
And you're lucky we don't have a video camera in here right now because, I can rock it, let me tell you.
We're going to send that all over. We're going to send it to Japan.
Let's do it viral. Let's go viral, baby.
So I think a lot of times people compare themselves to their friends. I think that's the biggest thing. I think you can, like, bar none, you got magazines, you got Facebook, you got TV, but people compare themselves to friends. They compare themselves to people that aren't their friends. Like, women are notorious for that. They'll see another woman and they'll be like, huh. And you start, and they're literally like looking at them from, are they doing hair extensions? Are they doing this? Are those lash extensions? What is it? They're like trying to figure out what is it different than them. And I think also women more than men, I think also, connect with celebrities more. And they don't have that sliding rule. So they basically have this slant, right, of what they're told is beautiful versus what's real. And like I was talking about in our first segment, Mona Lisa would have never been considered beautiful now. And if you think about life in general, I mean, think about it. I mean, Angelina Jolie, I think, is pretty. But if she wasn't a superstar, would she be considered pretty? I mean, I know women that look a lot like Angelina Jolie, and I mean, they don't even have a Facebook picture, or they don't even have a Facebook page, and the concept is they're gorgeous. However, nobody knows them. I mean, you know, they're not a star. They're not a movie star.
You know, you happen to bring up one of my favorite people, Angelina Jolie. I think she evolved to that. And I think the thing about Angelina is she's very comfortable in her skin. I think that's what emanates more so than the physical presence of her.
She's comfortable enough to get a double mastectomy. Didn't she just get
exactly.
And she didn't even have breast cancer, but she had a history of it in her family.
Exactly.
So just, what do you call it, proactive? You know, a double mastectomy.
Yeah.
She was secure enough in her own person because, you know, and actually, I mean, you know, back me up here. I mean, when it comes to female beauty here, you know, I mean, it, you know, getting a double mastectomy is definitely going against the grain.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, so. I have my thoughts on that, and that would be for another show. I agree with where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I think that was, an interesting choice, but I do agree with you because most women do define themselves by their breast size. I mean, that's because society as well. I mean, you don't go into a store and find swimsuits that are made for a woman with small breasts, okay?
No.
You don't look at dresses normally, except for nowadays where they're making dresses for women that are twigs. Okay, for the 80-pound woman, there are a lot of designers that do that now where women that are full figure can't fit into it. And then I think that's kind of the key, but I think that a lot of times women define themselves by their breasts just because they've been brought around that for their whole life. I mean, look at the magazines, look at men, I mean, look what they look at, you know? And I think also that's where disorders like eating disorders come from. I think there's a lot of your mind intake, and I think even family and friends can't even sway people that get their mind into, I have to look a certain way. They might even have to seek, you know, professional help. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our exploration of the top 5 mind-made limitations. So stay tuned because me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back. We'll be back in 2 shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, if you're just tuning in, we've been discussing mind-made limitations and how they hold us back on a daily basis. You know, before we went to break, we were in the middle of our discussion on the top 5 mind-made limitations and how we create them. And we were discussing number 5, I'm not smart enough, and number 4, I'm not good-looking. And now we're on to number 3. I'm never going to accomplish my life goals. You know, I think your life goal or your life purpose is mucho importante. However, it's a feat of strength to believe in yourself when it comes to something so vitally important. Why do you believe that we begin believing that we won't accomplish our goals? And I think that most people will start believing they won't accomplish their goals because I think, first off, they're on the road to accomplishing their goals. That, you know, they have some sort of belief, but all of a sudden it seems like it's taking too long. Because, you know, we're in this, like, fast food society. You know, people want everything yesterday. And so they're thinking, well, I've been trying to do this for X amount of months, and I don't know why I'm not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm not moving anywhere. I mean, it's taking too long. What's going on?
I have that problem. I struggle with that. I'm not a very patient person. And so it takes, you know, all my self-discipline to remember to take it step by step and not give up if it doesn't happen tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you talk about winning, you talk about failure, you talk about not accomplishing your goals. One of the commercials that I really love is a Michael Jordan commercial. And the commercial talks about not his successes, not his championships, not all the great things that he's done. The commercial talks about his failures. And I think having an understanding of how failure is not literally a failure. A failure is an opportunity to do things differently or an opportunity to do things better. And if you understand failure is a part of succeeding, then you can play a mind game with yourself. Hey, I didn't make this goal, but you know what? I'm going to adjust and I'm going to shoot for another goal. Why not?
Or you learn from what didn't go right. And
exactly.
And, you know, it's like if you fall off the horse, you get back in the saddle. You know, Michael Jordan was cut from his first basketball
He was cut. It was devastating to him. But he picked himself back up and said, yeah, you know what? I've got an ultimate goal, but there's little goals to get me to the ultimate goal.
Exactly.
I agree with you all. I think that's a really good analogy, too. I mean, what about this? A lot of times we think that it should happen a certain way. So we have this mindset that, okay, I'm going to attain my goals, and it's going to happen exactly as I envision it, even though it's never going to happen that way. It might be some sort of metaphorically close to that, like a dream state where nothing really means what it is and it's all like a symbolistic type thing. But if you think, okay, the person that I need to work with is going to look like this and they're going to walk through the door and this is going to happen, it's never going to happen that way.
One of the things I learned early on in life is that I am in control of absolutely nothing. Okay. So what I've tried to do is position myself to take advantage of opportunities. Okay. The universe just doesn't work that way. We think that we manage it. It's going to be A, B, and C. And you know what? Sometimes it happens a little bit differently. And every time it happens differently, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised. And I'm actually getting exactly what I wanted, but it just didn't happen the way I exactly wanted it to happen. Does that happen to you, Bill?
Well, it does. Now, I'll disagree with you on just one point.
Okay.
There is one thing you can control. You could control, kind of like what you were saying earlier, you can control how you feel about yourself.
Yes, yes, okay? Yes.
I'll use an example from when I was in the corporate world, when I was a trainer.
Ooh.
You ever heard of the Pike's Peak Fish Market up in Seattle?
Yes, yes. Okay,
we had a training video on it, actually. Actually, you'll like this. And the guys there, I mean, they're dealing with raw fish. You know, they gotta get up at ungodly hours and load fish, offload fish from trucks and sell it to people.
Kind of
right?
smelly, huh?
But, I mean, these are the happiest people. And they asked one guy there, well, you know, why are you in such a good mood? And he goes, well, I chose to be at work today.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I would tell people. I mean, you know, you and I and Ashley, we chose to be here today.
Yeah, very much.
We didn't have to be here today.
Well, it is tonight, but I'm glad that but I understand what you're saying. We didn't have to be here. We could have said we're not coming in. We could have just called the studio and not showed up. They could play some sort of repeat. They could play a different show, but we chose to. We wanted to. And I think a lot of people that were listening last week to the show can understand that we obviously put in 150% when it comes to doing this because we believe in it.
Yep.
No matter what's going on, no matter if we can't find the Pepto, no matter if Bill's trying to pull me out of the bathroom because I've passed out on the floor, the point is that things do happen. And I think I agree with you. And a lot of times people use that analogy, at least I'm not 6 feet under. It's better that way. And I think that's true. And Bill, you brought up a good point. It's about the love and the passion you have for what you do. And if you find love and you find passion for what you do, it makes everything awesome. I do think, though, that a lot of our preconceived notions get in the way. I think you can kind of orchestrate life. But I think it has to come from the heart space, I talked about, and not from the ego.
Exactly.
Because the ego is never going to get you to the right place. Because you'll meet somebody and you'll think, oh, this is it. This is the person that's going to catapult it. This is the person. And you know what? There's nothing about that. And you put too much into this. You need to look at each individual meeting as a gift, as, you know, you're thankful to have it, and not look into any, not try to read anything more into it, and not try to cross the T's and dot the I's, but to just accept it for what it is, the present moment. The present is a gift. And whatever that spawns out of that can be very amazing. But it's never going to be the way that we thought it looked like.
I agree.
What about when you see, what about when we see other people around us win, like they accomplish their goals, and we see other people around us lose or not accomplish that goal? A lot of times we internalize what happens to those people, and we start, we call it the Jedi mind tricking of our own mind, thinking, they couldn't do it. Look how smart, look how capable they are. If they couldn't do it, well, I don't know if I can. Or the other side, well, they're not even that smart. I don't even understand how they got around to doing this. And why am I having to sit here and wait to do what I want to do?
You know, Ashley, my late grandfather, you know what he would say if someone was successful in life? That they cheated.
I've heard that before. They must have cheated. They must have cheated the system.
Yeah, ill-gotten games. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because because a lot of times, why do we do that? And why people do that in the past is because it didn't work out for them. You know, and they can't see anybody else accomplishing it because it's hard because there's that bit of, what do you call it, that I talk about all the time when you literally just, it's a sadness. It's a sadness that you couldn't attain you know, your goals, you right. know? I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, you know, that's where sport comes into play, and that's why I love sport. And we'll use the example of the recent NBA Finals. From the moment of the first kick tip-off, I'll say, San Antonio believed that they could win, and they punched Miami in the mouth. And as you watched that series over time, you saw Miami begin to assume the posture of defeat.
Well, I was just about to say, yeah. not only did San Antonio believe they could win, but Miami also knew that San Antonio was
exactly.
going to win.
Which, you know? Which was evident in the quotes immediately after the game. When yeah. you listen to Chris Bosh, his first quote was, they were better than us. And I think he began to believe that early in the series, and it manifests itself in reality.
I agree with that. That's awesome. That's so true. And if you have that mindset, if you walk into work every day and you say, and you look at, and the person that's working with you, let's say is Lisa, and you say, man, Lisa's so much smarter than me. She's gonna get that promotion. Whenever the promotion comes open, I'm never gonna have a chance. I don't have a chance. She's so much smarter than me. Well, you know what? Guess who's gonna get the promotion? It might not be her, but it's definitely not you.
Right.
I mean, you know, and that's the key. If you go on and just, you basically played yourself out of the hand. I mean, because honestly, Miami, I saw them in Miami just right before this series, the series right before it. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm talking, there is talent. And I'm not talking just one or two players. I'm talking that a whole team
yeah.
is so talented and so big. And some of them are almost robotic. I mean, they're so huge. And for them to go down, especially this last game, I mean, I was like, holy crap. Yep. I mean, we're 100-something to 80-something. I'm thinking, this is insane. It was a blowout.
Was
I was like, oh, my gosh. And I got other people calling going, oh, my God. You know, they're just freaking out. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. But at the same point, I saw this team play, and they could have won. I mean, a lot of people were thinking they were going to win. Okay, so you're right. They did basically, you know, Jedi mind, they mind made their own limitation out of the game.
So let's Jedi mind self. I am good. I can be successful. I can accomplish my goals. I am beautiful. And say that over and over again. What do you think might happen?
And you don't need to see my identification.
And you don't.
That's hilarious.
Try it. It might work. Huh?
It might work.
What do you think?
I like that. Yeah. We got a lot. We're going to go directly that way soon, because you're right. You're right on with this, because we have a lot to talk about that, because you can change it. You can rewrite some of this stuff and make it right. So when we return, we're going to talk more about how number three, about how I'm never going to accomplish my goal. After that, we'll get into the next two. And then, yes, we are going to figure out how to rewrite the wrong. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our exploration on the top five mind-made limitations. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and later on, I'm going to explain how to live your true life. We've discussed the constant energy suckers, the proverbial dead weight, the big-time users become the big-time losers, and now we're on to the next usual suspect, liar, liar, pants on fire. I think the liar is constantly lying about everything. It's definitely somebody to remove out of that friends list that you have. This person has more issues on their plate than just losing you as a friend. I think the constant liar has to project their lies at all costs. This person will cover up and project on others as well, and conjure up lies to divide and conquer friends when the fear of being caught in a lie actually surfaces. You know, I've had a lot of experience with liars, both in the concept of my personal life, my professional life, you know, dealing with clients, that sort of thing. And I think a lot of times, you know, a liar, the ones that really get to me are the ones that instigate problems. Like, they instigate problems, they create issue, they create drama, they bring pain. For example, You know, I dealt with somebody in my past, no names, you know, no names, no faces, no mugshots, none of that. But the person literally lied about so many things and was constantly lying to me, and I had no idea. And it wasn't until it was brought to my attention by some random third party that I started seeing, like, what was kind of in front of my face. And I didn't realize it because I wasn't around this person 24/7 to know what was going on. And then the next thing you know is that when I kind of divide up ties from this person, they're projecting onto other people some things that are going on. They're lying about me because they don't want me to talk to that other person at all. Not that I would sit there and talk about them, but they're so scared that all their lies are going to come out that they just start telling lies all over town. I mean, it's like the way that they do business, because they think, okay, like, for example, you know, Bill, if it was between somebody that you and I knew, and they would literally, you know, tell Bill, oh, hey, Bill, by the way, you know, Ashley told me some bad stuff about you, or Ashley was talking stuff about you. And then it gets to you where you're thinking, oh, really? Oh, so she's talking about me? Well, I'm just not, you know, okay, well, when I see her, I'm just going to be a little cold. I'm just going to act like that. I'm not going to get too close to Ashley because she's up to something. And the whole thing is that person got to both of us now, and now our relationship is messed up because we don't know that we need to talk. We don't know that there's something in between. And so I've experienced that. I don't know about y'all, but it can be a major waste of time, and it can also put you into some problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the type of person that needs to be the center of attention, and they want the drama to revolve. And
they create the drama.
Yeah, they create the drama. And also, but they're also insecure on the inside. So they want to project this personality. Invent this personality and project it out to other people and start telling lies about this and that and the other. And this person said this and that person said that. And pretty soon it's all revolving around this person.
Or like they even start telling lies about themselves about how well they're doing, and really they're not doing that
well.
That's
what I'm saying. They're insecure.
Yeah, they're insecure. And the thing is, though, they start to, oh, yes, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and the third, you know, just so I guess others can look at them in a good light, but really it's not going down like that. And it's like, come on, dude, stop lying. Just tell the truth. I mean, like, if you need help, I will help you, but at least be honest with me about it. You know what I mean? I do have a friend like that who lies constantly, and she lies a lot whenever, you know, we're hanging out, or like even when it comes to making plans to hang out. It's like she would instigate it. It's like, hey, we're gonna hang out on such and such date. Okay, fine. That date comes along, nowhere to be found.
Well, now, right? is this person a true friend though, or more of what you would call an acquaintance?
Oh, wow.
See, Ashley, wow. I mean, that's a big thing of mine, is that I define friendship as, you know, maybe tighter right. than most people do.
There's levels of friendship.
Yeah, there's levels of friendship. I would have to say leaning more towards the acquaintance side. I mean, if you was to talk to her, she might say something different.
Right.
She might say something like,
but I mean, how can she be a true friend? Like a really
she's a liar. She's, how can she really lies? Be a true friend?
And you know it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. She can't be a true friend.
Yeah.
Well, she's really not even a friend to herself.
No, she's not a friend to herself.
I mean, because she wouldn't be lying. I mean, because if somebody really is consciously aware of what's going on, you know, they might screw up some facts now and then. But all in all, you know, honestly, they're not going to have any of these issues. You know what I mean? They're not going to be constantly dead weight. They're not going to be lying. I mean, because there's no reason to lie. You know, I mean, why lie? I mean, like earlier today, somebody asked me a question and I responded back with, oh, I totally forgot. I mean, I could have responded back with, oh, why everything got in the way and all this stuff, but I just said I forgot. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. No big deal. And it's like being honest is so much easier than trying to come up with some sort of fabrication. I mean, especially when somebody's actually calling you to set up plans. It's like, you called me and now you're nowhere to be found. Like, I don't get that at all. I mean, that to me sounds some sort of manipulation, or maybe she doesn't remember what she did next. Or what she said before.
I think she remembers. I think she remembers. But what I think it is, I mean, it goes back to what Bill said, you know, with the world revolving around them, you know, kind of like the days before Copernicus, whatever. But the thing is, it's just, that's just how she is. She wants the spotlight on her, and she just has this need to, you know, create drama whenever she sees the opportunity to do it.
Did you catch the Copernicus
reference
there?
I did.
You know, get it, Ashley? You know, or sun revolving around?
No, I got it. That was pretty actually clever. I like that. I don't know how many heads it went under or over. I don't know, but I did like that. I like that a lot.
Oh, Sorry, guys.
That was good. I liked it. I liked it. That was actually pretty deep. That was cool.
It was deep.
That was cool.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about heavy manipulators, because I think liars is a subsidiary of manipulation. Okay. So like you said, Bill, somebody that revolves around them, just like you were saying, Keenan, about this woman, most of the time it's manipulation. So they might be trying to see if they can manipulate you into feeling a certain way. You know, oh, are they really that close? Are they going to be upset that I don't make it? I'm just not going to show up. Are they going to worry about me? You know, and so you have all these different levels of manipulation, as well as when people lie to other people and constantly lying to keep people separate. That's constant manipulation, because they're manipulating a whole group of people to feel or think a certain way about someone else. Oh, okay, well, I can lie enough to make this person where they don't talk to this person anymore. And because I'll tell them enough lies about this person that they won't even want to be in the same room. And then I'll watch them when they ignore this person and basically shun this person, and they've done absolutely nothing.
So maybe is there a jealousy factor here? You know, like I said, maybe they want to be the center of attention. So it's like, well, you know, I'm just going to create drama between those two so that, you know, I can be best friends with this person.
That's a good observation. I think sometimes it's just constant manipulation. I think it's about getting attention. I think you're right about that. I do think that sometimes people lie just arbitrary. I do think that people lie and get caught, and they don't want to get caught. And that's the thing that always kind of bugs me about people that don't tell the truth, is that you always wonder, did they just tell you finally that they weren't telling the truth because it was just about getting caught? And like, it's like when you see somebody that gets caught, you know, having a marital affair with, you know, against their wife or husband, and they're crying and everything else. And you say, are you crying because you're crying because you're sad about what you did, or you're crying because you got caught? And I had something happen recently in a situation where somebody told me they were going to do something and they didn't do it. And I found out about it, and I got to actually see the paper and see actually in the blue ink. I got to see it for myself, factual evidence that this person went against exactly what they said they were going to do. And there was another person between us that when they found out about it, because I said, I only told one person about this and I thought I could say it in confidence. Well, they got so angry about it, they went to the other person and said, I know what you did. Okay. By the way, you know, she knows what you did. And I didn't know that that was even said. So one day there I am walking along, I'm coming in the office, and this person stops me and is crying. And is like, I'm really sorry and all this stuff. And I thought that they had just come to me because they cared, because they wanted to be honest and straight up. And I was like, well, thank you for doing that. That means a lot to me. It hurt my feelings that you didn't do what you said you're going to do, but at least you were honest with me. And, you know, hey, thanks a lot. Well, then later on, when I find out that they were told by this other person, I was like, oh, so they were just crying because they got caught. They weren't crying and showing me affection because they felt bad. They never thought they were going to get caught. And so when I found that out, I kind of got angry with the other person too, because I was saying, I really don't want people knowing that I know their business. I would rather sit back and let people be the way they're going to be, because that's a lot better, because you get to see people for who they are when you let them be who they're going to be. Because if you go around telling everybody, I know your story, I know what's up, I know you lied, you're not going to get anywhere, because people are going to be walking on eggshells. And on top of that, they're going to be even more false than they've ever been. And so when you get to see people honestly for who they are in their own petri dish, it's better than them knowing that you know. And so when I found that out, at first I thought she was actually crying out of remorse, but then I found out she was crying because she got caught.
Well, it's like, well, for me, a red flag is when a person who I know walks up to you and say, I heard. That's how, you know, they start a sentence with the words, I heard this, I heard that, I heard the
third. Or so-and-so said.
Oh, yeah, or so-and-so said. You know, and I'm like, whoa, why are you even coming at me with this? That's just something I don't like, and I think it's a red flag.
I agree. Red flags are red flags, and we're going to get more into that as well. We're going to talk more about the human condition. We're going to talk more about the five usual suspects when we return. So when Perspectives returns, we'll continue our discussion, and guess what? Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and later on, I'm going to explain how you can move on to live your true life. So far, we've discussed the constant energy sucker, the proverbial dead weight, the big-time user equals the big-time loser, the liar, and now we're going to begin our dissection of the person who's only around when it's convenient for them. You know, this person is only around when it's easy. They're only around when it's fun, when it's fun for them. It's like a fair weather friend with very little to offer. This person is at the least of their worries, about time and about taking your time. And it's all about what suits them. And I know Keenan was talking earlier about the concept of the fair weather, the convenient for them friend, and they're only around when it's easy for them. And I think you were talking about that a few segments ago.
Yes, I was. I was talking about this person, and I don't like people bringing her up. But the thing is, though,
this person's face comes into your mind.
I mean, not her face, but like just her entire silhouette comes into my mind every
wow.
time.
Well, you know whose silhouette comes to my mind.
Yes, yes.
It's like the Alfred Hitchcock silhouette kind of thing. Boom, and you see it by the door, and you're like, oh, that's her.
Oh, man. Oh, here she comes. And I'm just going to be like, bye, Felicia. But anyway.
Bye, Felicia.
Wow.
But no, it's just that, you know, as I said earlier, it's always, you know, when it's ever convenient for her and everything like that, you know. But at the same time, though, I mean, I know someone who is the complete opposite of her, and she just completely rocks.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I know someone who is just the complete opposite. It does not matter, you know, whether, I mean, you might be, you know, high on the hog or down on a ditch or something like that. She's there.
She's there. She's a friend.
She is always there. I'm like, you know, she's there, you know, whenever, you know, life is going good for you, hey, let's hang out. Okay, let's go. You know, but when everything is going bad, when stuff is like crumbling down, guess what? She is still there.
Well, that's a good friend.
Yeah. Now, you notice something about my man Keenan here.
Right.
You notice when he's talking about all these friends, it's always a she.
It is always women.
He's got so many female friends. That,
yes, I do. I have a lot of female friends.
I was telling him he's got so many numbers in his phone that if he had to look up somebody, it would take him like 30 minutes.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm not saying anything about that. No, but, you know, that's the thing, though. I mean, woman, man, whatever. I mean, the concept is if somebody's there for you all the time, though, and you're there for them, that's a great friendship. That's it. I mean, that rocks. You're right. That person's solid and shows it because it's not always when it's the good times. And it's not always when it's the bad times, because some people like bad times. You have to understand that too. I don't know if you've had anybody around you.
Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. Is, you know, the people who invite more of the bad times than the good times. You remember a couple weeks ago, Ashley, how I defined friendship?
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know, a good friend,
like,
is
Google Plus friendship. You're talking about
a good friend is someone who will bail you out of jail, but a really good friend is somebody who's in the jail cell with you.
Yeah. Oh yeah! It was like when I was in the Air Force. I mean, there was no such thing as, you know, you got in a fight, you got in trouble. It was always we got in a fight and we got in trouble. And we had to go see the first sergeant. That's how it always was in the Air Force.
That's awesome. You're like, we all did it together. You know, brotherhood.
And remember the story about the jail cell in Juarez?
Oh, yeah. You know, he was in a jail cell in Juarez. Bill was.
We got taken to the jail cell in Mexico.
Bill doesn't remember a lot of it either. So I tried to get details.
I just remember waking up in the jail cell like, oh, I don't feel so good.
I tried to get details from him. He claims he doesn't remember. I'm not going to sit there and push it too much. But he claims he has no memory. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's how he ended up in the jail cell to begin with. I don't know. But I'm still interested in hearing about that. We will get that information out of you at some point.
Interrogation.
Oh, yeah, interrogation, lights coming out, big lights, big Mole Richardson lights coming out real quick. Yeah, no Fresnels on them either, just straight at you. You know, so let's talk about how do we get our life back? How do we get our life back? How do we distance ourselves from these five types of people? How do we do it? And let's be sure, honestly, first off, that we're not mirroring. It's not a mirror of ourselves. But first off, I think the best thing to do is to ignore and refocus our time and energy from people, and eventually they'll get the hint. And I think this works well when it's a short-lived friendship, when there's little time invested in the friendship. You know, in a short-lived relationship, you don't owe anybody anything, really. And the length of time someone has been in your life is a significant marker to identify who is owed a face-to-face chance to say their piece. So I think in situations when you first just meet somebody and you've only been hanging out for a few weeks or whatever, you met at a bar, you met down, whatever, you met him at church, whoever. But if it's only been a few weeks and you're already seeing these issues and it's not bringing you any joy and vice versa, you can pretty much end it normally by just kind of refocusing your energy. I mean, just not calling. I mean, it's not that you're not returning their calls, but really normally they probably just won't even reach out to you. I mean, that's been my experience.
No, we're stop being proactive.
Yeah, stop yeah. holding it up. Stop right. being the crutch. Stop, you know, when it's not working, normally in a lot of these personalities, they're not going to come back after you. I mean, it's just they'll find someone else. They'll refocus their energy. They'll find someone else that's right there. And but I think for the people that have long-term friendships, like a significant amount of time, I think a personal meeting is definitely in order, because you can't ignore someone like this, and you can't really refocus because there's been so much time. I think you have to step up to the plate and take care of it. You need to set up a meeting with them.
Well, you know, actually, I think that brings up a good point for all five of these categories. And just to go off a little bit on a tangent, but
tangents are good.
Tangents are good. As long as you kind of bring it back here.
I'll try.
The level of friendship, I think, is important here. Like, if we don't know each other very well, okay, we haven't been, quote-unquote, friends for a very long time, then, you know, I think that I would just kind of, like, not be proactive about it and just kind of let it wither and die on the vine.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody that I've been friends with for a long time, then I think I would do just kind of what you did. It's like, you know, bro, we got to sit down and talk.
Yeah, and you need to find a place that you can talk, okay? You don't want to go to a restaurant where you have to lower your voices. You don't want to have to go somewhere where you feel like everybody's listening to what you're talking about. You really need to go somewhere that you can have some privacy, that you can have a real conversation. That's what I always laugh about is when somebody's breaking up with somebody in a relationship, and the guy always picks the quietest Italian restaurant. Because they know that the girl can't scream and she's not going to cry too loud. So he's like, okay, I'm going to pick that place. You know? And I think that you have to pick somewhere that you can have a conversation, because you have to give them the option to explain. But you also have to bring up what the issue is that you have. If it's somebody that's close to you, and let's just say that they're lying to you and you've caught them in countless lies, and you bring it up to them, you say, hey, our friendship means a lot to me, but you've been lying about this, this, and that, and we need to talk about it because it's starting to affect how I feel about our relationship. Now, there's two sides people can go. You never know how they're going to take this. I'm not telling you they're going to say, okay, yes, I want to better myself right now. Tell me how I can be a better person. They might storm out. They might leave. They might tell you some stuff that I can't say on the air right now. They might say some stuff to you like that. They might also go back and argue with you. They might find fault in you. They might turn around and say, well, you did this. And so you have to be prepared for whatever's going to come back. But if their friendship means enough to you, you got to stick in there and do it.
Well, it's kind of like the mutual friend that Kenan and I have. And I finally just, you know, had the confrontation. And it got heated. And we exchanged words. And that was kind of it.
Well, so, you're very final about stuff.
You know me. I'm just like, you know, I'm black or white as far as, you know, whether or not I want somebody in my life. And I keep my circle of true friends small. And I think that's the reason why I do it, is because, you know, I don't want a large circle of people who may try to take advantage of me.
Well, you also like to have friends that are all around good people. They have a lot going on.
Yeah.
They're not doing all this. And so it's okay. You accept it's okay from acquaintances that if they do lie a little bit, if they do this, if they are more of a taker, you're not seeing them that often. So it really
right.
doesn't matter to you.
That's exactly it.
And so,
yes.
so it doesn't affect you that much.
Right.
But if it's somebody around, like, for example, if you and I were having an issue, and I mean, we would have to talk it out because it would affect our entire relationship. It would affect this program. It would affect our friendship. And a lot of times we're too scared to bring it up because we know somebody, we don't want to really say anything. But the problem is that makes even more of a wedge, because every little thing they do after that, you know, you just want to scream at them. I mean, I remember when I was even a kid, my dad and I had an argument, and it was, I let it go on and fester and fester. I love that word, fester. Oh. And I remember I just went off on him when he asked me to take the trash out. And it wasn't anything about the trash. It had nothing to do with the trash. And and I've realized since I was a little kid, I would hold things in, and then I would just lash out. And I don't want to do that anymore. So a few years ago, I said, okay, when things get to a point where I feel it instantaneously, if you can, the best thing you can do is talk about it right when it happens. So right when it happens, if somebody does something to you right then, say, hey, can we talk a second? Because I don't really like the way I felt about that, or I don't like the way that that made me feel, or the comment you made, or why did you say this? Because if you wait, one, it's got less power. Two, you'll probably forget about it. Three, you'll allow it to mount up to other things. I mean, it's almost just like dealing with a dog. Okay, so if you have a dog and you come home and the dog has urinated on the floor, right? You want to do something immediately. You don't hurt the dog. You point out what happened and you do it really quick because a dog's memory is short for the most part. And so just like most people's memories are short, they don't remember what they did yesterday. And if they're lying and doing all this stuff, they're not going to remember. You need to point it out right now.
Not that this has ever happened to you, right?
No, not that it's never happened to me. My dog is perfectly trained.
Exactly.
He's perfectly trained.
But he's a good dog.
He's oh my gosh, he's so cute. Okay, well, we'll talk more about him later. So stay tuned because we're going to continue talking about making this distance, creating happiness, getting that life that you've always wanted. And also we're going to go into more depth of how you actually distance and what level of distance that you want to actually accomplish. So stay tuned because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we've been exploring and discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, how to move on and live your true life. We've been discussing the constant energy sucker, the proverbial dead weight, the big time user, the liar, and the person who's only around when it's just convenient for them. Right before break, we were actually discussing, you know, how to actually begin to move past and to discuss these issues with friends. You know, if you have just recently met this person or it's a young relationship, you can basically ignore and refocus your energy. I mean, if it's been a long-term relationship or an older relationship, you really do want to sit down with this person and discuss the issues or problems that have arisen. And a lot of times, if you can, you want to start doing that now, but if you can, you want to begin doing this when it happens. Because a lot of times we wait and wait and wait until, you know, things fester, if somebody's lying or somebody's taking advantage of you, what have you. You wait till it's too late. And you wait till it's almost irreplaceable, irreparable for yourself. And sometimes that can be a problem because you terminate the relationship automatically because you can't handle it anymore because they've gone past the ability to make up for it. And had you had just had this conversation earlier, maybe you could have salvaged the relationship. I mean, and I think a lot of times that happens for us. So let's begin talking about the distancing and how you distance, because I think Bill actually talked about it earlier about, you know, the levels of distancing. Like, you do permanent distancing, like between you and Keenan, y'all's friend, you permanently just dissolved yourself in that relationship.
Broke it off and haven't looked back.
Wow. So yeah, that is one way of distancing. One level is permanent ending the relationship. Okay. The second level of distancing is for a specific length of time. Okay. And the third is to distance yourself indefinitely. So permanent means ending the relationship, means you're definitely done, okay? You know, and I think that's interesting because that means that you can't go back. You can't do anything. You've decided that this friendship is toxic, it's caustic. You make your peace, you move on, okay? And I think we've all had a few relationships like that. I've had a very few like that, and it was the best thing for everybody to move on, or at least it was the best thing for me. Because it was caustic. But I think also you can distance for, you know, indefinitely distancing an individual gives them the right to come back if they make necessary changes. And I think the option exists for you to take them back. And I think that's important too. So if you distance for a specific time, let's say, and you say, hey, let's take a break, let's take a breather, and let's come back and look at this maybe in a few months, or let's discuss this in a few weeks. Sometimes that can redo an entire friendship because they can realize what they've been taking for granted. They can also look at changing their ways, but again, people have to want to change. It can't just be about you. It can't just be about y'all's friendship. It has to be like, man, I really need to take a bigger step in my life. I need to be a better person. I need to look at what I'm doing. And if they come back in a few weeks and say, hey, now I get what you're saying. I understand it might take me some time. I might need to work at it. I really, if you can be there for me, I might not be doing it totally correct, but I'm going to do my best to change. That's something to look at. And I think some people do offer that. And I think there are some friendships that are worth trying that out.
Well, yeah, I mean, like for me, from my one from back in high school, I just permanently distanced myself from him. I mean, even when I joined the Air Force and then came back, you know, after 6 years, I did not get in contact with him. I know my cousin is still in contact with him until recently, actually. I saw my cousin last month, and he told me that he completely distanced himself from our old friend from way back when, because it's like the guy has not changed since 1993.
That's
pretty sad.
It's like he has not changed since 1993.
That's 11 years.
I know it is.
That's a long
time. We know
it
is. Yes, we know.
It's like the iPhone wasn't even invented back then.
No, it was not.
I mean, that's...
There was
you did not do that. You just defined time by the iPhone.
Apple, you know?
Wow, I wish I still had more stock in that company. That was great. That was awesome.
Like I said, you know, he had a little change since way back when. And I remember, you know, back when we were in high school, we would bust our little freestyle raps. And we would have dreams of growing up and becoming famous rappers in the underground scene, kind of like the Wu-Tang Clan or whatever. But the thing is, what happened was I realized that, hey, that's never going to happen for me. So I think I need to do something else. So I went and I, you know, raised my right hand, joined the armed forces, and I moved off to California, traveled the world, saw some stuff, had some new experiences, made new friends. Then I came back and decided to have another new experience and go to college and once again meet new people.
There you go. So instead of taking the Wu-Tang Clan route, you took the KRS-One route.
Correct.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, hold on now. But the thing is, you know, Jizza from the Wu-Tang Clan, he's actually doing a program with a professor from Columbia University, and they're going to the inner cities and they're teaching kids science through hip-hop. And in fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson is down with that.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Is the first name of that doctor, is it Dr. Carl? What's his name? Do you know?
His name is Christopher Edmund, something
okay.
like that.
Yeah, because there was, we'll talk about this off the record, but there was some interesting, there was a couple of professors from Columbia that I recently, they were actually working on some inner city teaching mathematics and science, but I don't know, we'll talk, DeGrasse, what is his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah,
he's great. We got to have him on here too. Yeah, so.
I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, do it. Well, I'll be getting to work on that. So anyway, you know, so we're talking about the concept of distancing yourself. So you got permanent, which obviously Bill is aware of. Distancing for a specific time. I think this gives people a chance to kind of figure it out. And then I think also sometimes you have to distance yourself indefinitely. So you're not sitting there saying, hey, the friendship's over, I never want to see you again. You're not saying that. But you're also not saying, hey, let's talk in a month. Basically, you're kind of allowing the universe to come together, and if it works out that y'all are to be friends or in a relationship, then you will. Otherwise, you won't.
You know, at least in my case anyway, Ashley, and in my experience, you don't even have to have like a specific conversation. Hey, let's, you know, kind of take a break for X amount of time and, you know, talk again. I think, you know, a lot of times it's just kind of unspoken agreement. You know, we need to kind of go to our separate corners here. And when it feels right, then one or the both of us will get a hold of each other and, you know, kind of try it again.
If it works out.
Yeah.
But you're not going to hold your breath. And I think also, though, for the other people that are kind of fair weather or the people that kind of came into your life very quickly, I don't think you have to do anything. I don't think you have to set up a meeting. I don't think you have to do anything, because I think many times the users and the fair weather people come in so fast with lots of energy, but they leave just as fast. And I think for the most part, they leave, they enter your life and they monopolize your time. And these same people, if you don't do anything, we usually get bored of you and they'll just move on. They'll just move on because they'll find someone else. I mean, they'll meet people, you know, you're just a dime a dozen. They'll meet other people too. And if you don't call them to do something, they'll just move on.
You're a speed bump.
Yeah, you basically, yeah. And it may take a few weeks, even a month, but they do move on. And remember, a user is looking to use, right? So a user is always going to find someone that they can use. And if you're not around to be used, then they'll find someone else who is. Okay, because they need to basically find someone to fit into that position. And if they're looking for fame and fortune and to be at the right place at the right time, I always think that's interesting. And you have some people that were like that. Don't be surprised that you actually see them at places you go. Okay, you might actually run into them. But remember, thank goodness they've moved on. And when you see them, I think a lot of times you need to be polite. You know, you're the ambassador of consciousness and living. You're the ambassador of love. You should be loving. You should be, you know, polite. You don't have to be like all really nice and huggy and all this stuff, but you can say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, but just don't take them back and don't let them talk you into it too, because if it didn't work out, it probably won't work out again in that situation. But I think a lot of times we also get resentful, and you have to just forgive them. You got to forgive what happened, but you got to forgive yourself, because even like in the time when I was taken by somebody that really used me, The problem was is that I hadn't forgiven them, and I hadn't forgiven myself for getting in the situation. So finally, when I forgive them, I realized I still hadn't forgiven myself because I felt like I had duped myself into
it. You're like, why did I do that? How could I have been so stupid?
Yeah, and it gets to you. It mentally breaks you down. And so like I was talking about the other day about how when you're fighting other people, like when you're fighting yourself inside, you can't win a fight with anybody else. And the other thing is, it's not about fighting, but when you're fighting inside internally, everything else looks like a fight. And so you come out fighting all the time. You're like the tiger in the corner, lying in the corner going, I'm going to come out, I'm going to come out fighting. But that's just because you're fighting yourself. And so when I was able to finally say, hey, I made a mistake, I screwed up, but you know what? It takes two people, and I'm over it, and I'm going to forgive myself. And it didn't take just that one time I said, I'm going to forgive myself, it's over. No, it was a process, and it was a constant conscious process of me realizing when I was doing something that basically goes back to the fact that I was upset for what had happened, because our actions speak louder than words to us sometimes, right? We can do things out of things that we've done in the past, not necessarily the things that's like right in our headset, you know? And I think that's important. I think that a lot of times too, you just want to be polite. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some golden nuggets for keeping your friend garden clean. Because I think if you look at your friends, it's almost like a garden. And when you have other people in there that aren't working and things that aren't helping, it's kind of like the weeds. So you got like all the flowers and you got all the weeds growing up. And
gotta pull them out.
Now that's what I call perspective. You're either a flower or you're a weed. That's perspective.
Or you're a mosquito. So you got mosquitoes out there too. Skeeters.
Or your honeybee going around. Oh, okay, never mind.
Honey,
I think the honeybee analogy is kind of
That's kind of cute though. You do have the whole
but
like
bees
world.
Sting.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they sting.
But they die when they sting though.
Oh yeah, they just
Sad. They don't want to sting you. They just sting out of like because oh my gosh, they're next to me. Oh my gosh, they sting. But no, you're right. That's cute. Actually, I like the bee. Like, what about like little hummingbirds or something? But with daily maintenance of this garden and personal discovery, you can have a delightful group of friends, and they'll add to your life. They'll bring joy to your life, which is so cool. So when Perspectives, when me AB comes back, we'll be back. I guess we'll be back here, and we'll come back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. Can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we have been discussing how to let go of some of the friends on your friends list, how to do it properly, and how to move on and live your true life. You know, right before break, I was talking about how, you know, your friends are like a garden, and it's like a friend garden, and you want to keep it clean. You want to keep it free of weeds. And if you look at the weeds, those are the ones that are like the liars, the cheaters, the people that get in the way of your happiness and joy, and the ones that can just kind of take the time that you could be spending with other people. You know, we discussed exactly earlier how to distance yourself. We discussed the length of time that works best given the particular situation and the length of the friendship. And now for the golden nuggets for keeping a clean, weed-free friend.
Here we go.
Garden.
Drum roll, please.
Because it is best to see your friends as a garden.
Yes.
I think it's great. You know, you water, you weed, and you take care of your friends much like flowers. And when you tend to your friends, you have what? Lasting friendships.
Yes.
And when you weed the garden, you keep it clean, allowing you more time to spend with your healthy friends. More time to spend with your healthy friends. So how do you keep a solid, healthy, and joyful garden of friends? First, give and take. Right?
Right.
Keenan,
right.
You know that. Give and take. You got to sometimes give, sometimes you take, but you want relationships that are both ways. You don't just want one way. You got to have both. Everybody's got to understand that. And when both people understand that, it's perfect. It's a great relationship.
Like I said earlier, it's not a balance sheet.
No, but, you know, but not,
it's,
both
it's like equal 50-50. But yeah, I mean, you know, if like your friend earlier, if you're going to come up with ideas and you're going to kind of, you know, buy the round for everybody. You know, I mean, reciprocate.
Eventually, right. You know, eventually down the road, yeah, just do it, you know, and they'll do it. It's not, it doesn't have to be in the same form, but they'll be there. Like, if you need something, they'll be there, vice versa, you'll be there. And you don't think about those kind of things.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't think about it. In fact, it just kind of happens. And the thing is, when it happens, you don't even think that it is happening until later on, like maybe a month from whenever it happened that, oh, okay, yeah, she did do this for me, or he did do this for me. And, like, I remember when I did this for that person.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's not a spreadsheet or anything like that, but for some reason, it just all balances itself out.
It just works out.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to.
It just works out. And, like, I remember earlier, you know, you're speaking about, you know, having the indefinite amount of time, you know, to stay away from a certain person or whatever. Well, my best friend and I, we actually do that. And the thing is, though, it's like we just do it. We don't say that we're going to do it. It's like, you know what? We just, we'll like stay away from each other for like maybe a month.
Yeah, I've had friends like that that I've known for 15 years.
Yeah, well, yeah. My best friend and I, it's been like over 20.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we just come back together and like didn't miss a beat.
We're, you're on the same path. Yeah. You know everything. You might have missed a few things that happened, but they catch you up in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, within the, well, with her within the first
30. Minute.
Well, yeah, minute, and then it'll keep going and going and going. And then 2 hours later, she's still telling me about what happened. That, but, you know, whatever. I mean, but I still listen. I mean, yeah, it's my bestie, you know?
But, you know, it's also because, you know what that is, though? It's about purpose. And it's about when two people have purpose in a relationship, that's why it comes together. Mm-hmm. When two people want things to work out, that's why. When they have good intention, that's when it works out. When they have good, positive intention, then when they want to see the best for you. So what about seeing friendships for what they truly are, not the romantic version? I think this is important for all our listeners. You have friendships out there that, you know, once some time has passed, you forget all the bad stuff. You forget all the stuff that happened, and you only see the romantic side of the things that happen. You want to always forgive situations no matter what, especially even if you divide off from someone for a lifetime. You definitely want to forgive them, but you don't want to forget, because if you forget, you'll make the same mistakes. And there's a reason why we have these issues in our life. There's a reason why we go through this, is because sometimes people will say, oh, we go through the same thing over and over again. It's a cycle. Well, no, you have the ability to end the cycle. That's the key here, is that you're going through a process over and over again because you're supposed to experience it, because you didn't do it right. You haven't done it right yet. You're going to do it again. So until you get it right, you can't end the cycle. So eventually you got to step up to the plate and do what's right. And eventually you got to sometimes let people go, but also be cool with it and accept it and forgive what they did.
You know, Ashley, this is why I hate rom-coms.
Who?
Rom-coms, romantic comedies, you know, chick flicks.
Oh, those?
You know, why? I mean, and oh, by the way, Kenan, I hate rom-coms, okay?
Who calls it rom-coms?
I've heard that term a lot.
I've never heard that.
No, romantic comedies, you know,
okay,
chick flicks.
So for everybody listening, he's talking about romantic comedies.
Yeah, I've heard that term.
Chick flicks.
Yeah, chick flicks. Yeah. Because they're not realistic, you know? Real life doesn't have Hollywood screenwriters.
Well, of course not.
And
real life doesn't always end great. The guy doesn't always come back, and all the stuff happening in between, and then all of a sudden they show back up.
It's not like Pretty Woman where, you know, the guy comes riding up in a white limousine, you know?
She was also a prostitute in the film. So, I mean, but they romanticized the whole concept. See, they romanticized it.
Yeah, they romanticized it. Yeah.
Because otherwise that wouldn't end in the normal. That's not going to end where they get married. I mean,
not in real life. That wouldn't end like that. I mean, like, in real life, it would have been like, okay, I'm done with you. You can leave now, and whenever I need you, I will come and get in contact with you. You do not contact me.
Yeah, because
if they contact each other,
But let's get off that subject real quick. I think we should tiptoe away from that. Thanks, Bill. Thank you. No, but I understand where you're coming from. The whole concept is that people watch these films and think that life is like this. They think that, okay, their friendship's like this. And no, if somebody's done you wrong, you know, forgive it, but don't forget it. Okay, so the next thing is you want to be honest, right? Honesty is really sometimes underrated. It should be the top thing. Be honest with people, because guess what? They can't read your mind. If you lie to them, they don't know. So if you're honest, if honestly you feel a certain way, step up to the plate and say, hey, I feel this way. Because if you allow a wedge to get between you and other people because of something you haven't said or something you feel, that's your problem. And it's sad, because you're going to ruin the friendship. You're going to ruin the relationship over something that you weren't honest about.
Yeah.
If something affects you, speak up. Say it in a nice way. Figure out a time that you can be around that person by themselves and discuss it. Honesty is all you have. And you know what? Honesty is the easiest thing. Everything else is all difficult. And everything else, it just causes havoc. So you want to be honest. You want to tell the truth. And I think telling the truth is paramount. So what about say what you feel and ask questions? To keep this garden clean, say what you feel in a nice, respectful way. Don't hold your feelings back, but also ask questions. Don't assume, one, that this person feels this way. Because you might say, oh, this person doesn't care about me. They don't care. They don't care about my feelings. No, don't assume. Ask them. You know, or ask them how they feel about something. Because isn't it all about knowing? Isn't it about friendship, getting to know the other person? Isn't it about understanding how they tick and consciously how they feel? Asking questions is part of a friendship.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I normally do not ask a whole lot of questions, and here's why. The way I figure it is by getting into a casual conversation with someone, that I can find out whatever it is that I need to find out from that person by leading the conversation into a certain direction.
You are very good at that. Yes, well, you are.
Yeah, yeah. That's just what I do. That's how I handle things. You know, so when it comes to the whole asking questions things, that's something that I really do not do. However, I do get asked a lot of questions, and I will answer those questions, honestly, you know, because I figure that's how this person is trying to get to know me or seeing exactly what is up with me, especially when I first meet them. Now, my best friend, on the other hand, doesn't ask me a lot of questions because, I mean, we've known each other for 20-plus years. She knows that already.
They also take cues, okay? So you understand that somebody you've known for a long time is going to look at your actions and going to understand you and going to take the time to actually go deeper than just tell me some words, you know? And I think you're right about that. But, yeah, when you're first meeting somebody, not a barrage of questions, not like 50 questions, but, I mean, like, if you have a question, ask.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot from people. Whenever I meet someone new, I mean, I will get 50, 60, 70, 80 questions, and I feel like I'm in an interrogation chair, and I'm just answering these questions.
See, and that's when you go to Facebook on your phone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Energy sucker. Be alert.
Yes, yes. I mean, the person I was talking about earlier before we started the show, she did that.
She did that.
I was going to say, see, I mean, you need to come out with this sometime, Ashley. He will literally do that. It's like, I can tell when he's done with the conversation because he starts, you know, he'll just go to Facebook and he's tuned out everything. He's done.
Or Twitter.
And if you just met somebody, you can do that. But I mean, if you're in a long-term relationship or you've known him for a while, you don't have the same ability. So basically here is, the friendship is like a garden. It is. And you got to weed and you got to take care of it and you got to mow the lawn and you got to do all this stuff because we've all seen a really great house and you look at the front yard and you go, whoa, what is up with this? I mean, there's something wrong here. I mean, tend to your house, tend to your garden. I mean, you know, be happy about it. This is about you. And so when people see your friends and meet them, it is a definite reflection of you. Okay, so if you surround yourself with a bunch of liars and users, people will wonder about you. So remember this. You want, like, the nicest flowers, you want to reciprocate. You want to be there for them. You want to be honest. You want to tell the truth. You want to ask questions. You want to give and take. And also, don't romance anything. So we have a great show for you next week, and you're going to love it. And you know what? Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, this time we'll be back in three shakes.